Please be seated. And if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Since we'll be looking at the Ten Commandments, we'll no doubt be turning to Exodus chapter 20 for at least 11 times. Tonight, looking at the preface to the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 and 2, and God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Again, let's pray. Father, would you be merciful and gracious to us once again as we turn to your word and as we seek your wisdom and seek an understanding of this portion of your word. We are your people. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your will. We want to know your instructions for life. We want to know exactly what you have supplied so that we can live as your people. And so we pray that you would supply the very thing that we need this evening. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Whoever reads the preface to a book anymore? Many people turn to the first chapter and just dive right in, whatever it is, fiction, nonfiction, biography, history, science, humor, whatever it is. You know, your Bible has a preface. At least the English translation has a preface that explains a lot of useful things. But whoever stops to read the preface? There's an excellent book written, How to Read a Book, by Mortimer J. Adler. I don't know if any of you have read that, but it's a very instructive book on how to read books. I usually begin by reading the back cover of a book. This is where the publisher tells you who the author is and what the author's credentials are. And then I turn to the bibliography and the index, because I want to find out where the author got his information. So I look to see where most quotes come from. I look for Calvin and Luther and different names in the index. But the bibliography on any given topic can generally tell, have they done their homework and have they read what needs to be read. And then I check out the table of contents, and in this way I can tell where the author is going to go. How does he unfold his material? And then I'll flip through it once or twice to see if there's any good pictures. But then I read the preface to the book. And it's here that the author himself will tell you who he is and why you should listen to him and what you should expect to get out of that book and any little details that he wants you to know to get the most out of the book. And that's what a good preface will tell you. And that's what we find here as we begin our study of the Ten Commandments and following the paradigm that's provided with the Westminster Shorter Catechism. God himself, the author, gives us a preface, and he expects us to read it. Here, God himself is telling us who he is and why we should listen to him, and it's here that you and I can expect, we'll learn what we can expect to get out of the Ten Commandments. So we begin with who is God and why should you and I listen to him? Looking at the preface. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God tells us at least three things about himself in verse 2 of Exodus 20. First of all, he tells us that he is God and we are not. Then God spoke all of these words saying, I am the Lord. It's in capital letters. You read the preface to your English translation, you would know why that is all in caps. Here we're being reminded of who God is, that he's the one true living God. He's the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. This is his covenant name. This isn't just any God. This is the God, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Psalm 100, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Right from the start, we're being told who God is and that he is God and we are not. And perhaps one reason why people today are so ready to buy into godless evolution is that they don't like this message. You know, if there is a God, and this God made us, then that means that we are duty-bound to listen to what this God has to say and what his requirements are for how we are to live. So here we see that God is God and we are not. Secondly, he tells us that he is our God. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God. Martin Luther once asked, of what help is it to you that God is God if he is not God to you? What use is it if God is God if he is not God to you? And elsewhere Luther says, you know, all of theology is bound up in personal pronouns. The personal pronoun, your God. Yes, he's God, but he has to be your God, my God. And here God is telling us that we should do what he says, not just because he made us, but because he takes care of us. He cares for us. He loves us. He's our God, our covenant-keeping God. This was just emphasized in Exodus chapter 19. The Israelites come to Mount Sinai, and they stop here, and this is where God is going to give the Ten Commandments, the law. Exodus 19, verse 5, now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to speak to the Israelites. The whole earth is mine, and you are mine. You are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. God made us to be his people. He's bound us to himself forever through his gracious, sovereign covenant. God is our God. And then thirdly, God tells us that he's the one who saves us. He's our Redeemer. God says, listen to what I say and do what I say, because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. I made you, I made the entire world, but I've also brought you out of slavery. Again, Exodus 19, verse 4. When Moses goes up to God, the Lord calls to him from the mountain and says, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. They're being encouraged to think back about their redemption, being brought out of that land of slavery, being brought safely to that mountain where God will now reveal himself and reveal his heart to his people in the Ten Commandments. You know, God owns us twice. He created us. He made us. We fell away from him. We sinned. And so he buys us back. He redeems us. At the cross of Christ, God crushes the head of our enemy, Satan. By his Holy Spirit, he brings us out of our sin and our misery. He brings us to himself that we might enjoy fellowship with him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 20, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Because I have bought you, because I have redeemed you, glorify God in your body. And here God is saying, I've brought you out of bondage. I'm setting you free. I've saved you from sin's cruel slavery. Now you can live the way that I want you to live. God's preparing his people by giving them the Ten Commandments. Now, what should we expect to get out of the Ten Commandments? That's who God is. Now, what should we expect to get out of the Ten Commandments? A good preface not only tells us who the author is and why we should listen to what he has to say, but a good preface should prepare us for getting the most of the message from the author when he gives it to us. And so what can we expect to get out of God's good law book, the Ten Commandments? Seven things, very briefly, tonight. Number one, we should expect to get some good directions on how to live life. I mean, isn't this the point? You're being redeemed, you come to the mountain, and now the question's going to be, we're going to go into the promised land, how are we supposed to live? We need some instructions. And so we should expect to get some good directions on how to live life. Then God spoke all of these words, saying, I am the Lord, your God. Again, this is the God who made us. This is the God of life. And it just makes sense that the God who made us knows best how life should be lived. If he created us, then he's going to know best how we should live and how we're going to get the most out of life. His Ten Commandments are to be our instruction for life. Secondly, we should expect to learn how to stay out of trouble. Eight of the Ten Commandments are cast in a negative form, and this turns a lot of people off. You know, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And that's not what people want to hear today. What they want to hear is, just go ahead and do it. Have it your way. Do what you want. Go your own way. We run red lights and we roll through stop signs precisely because we don't want anyone telling us what to do. But red lights and stop signs, like God's Ten Commandments, are there to keep us out of trouble. They're there to protect us. And so we should expect to learn something from the Ten Commandments about staying out of trouble. The very negative cast of so many of the commandments, eight out of the ten, show us that God is trying to restrain us, hold us back, put up guardrails so that we don't get ourselves into trouble. Thirdly, we should expect to find that the Ten Commandments, to find in the Ten Commandments what it really means to be free. You know, it's not restrictive. It's really instructions on how to live free, how to be free, how to enjoy freedom. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And so the preface to the Ten Commandments is God's invitation to freedom. God took Israel out of bondage. Show them what a life of freedom is going to look like precisely by giving them the Ten Commandments. And here's Ten Commandments, and this is a picture of a life of freedom. In the same way, God in Christ has set us free, and our new freedom in Christ is going to be protected by these same Ten Commandments. For example, you and I are free to worship only one God. We're set free from having to worship a lot of gods. The Clash of the Titans, you know, having to keep all of these different gods happy by doing this, this, and this, the god of the weather, the sea, or the air. We're set free from all of that and from thinking that all of those gods are going to get us. We're set free because we're told that there's only one true living God. Now, that brings freedom. You and I are free to rest from our work week. We don't have to work every single day. We are free to take a break. We're free to rest and to enjoy God's house and to hear God's word and to be with God's people and not have to worry about everything else. We're free from having to lie our way out of trouble. The Ten Commandments say, do not lie, and so that sets you free. I don't have to come up with all kinds of stories to make excuses for myself. We're free from always wanting to have what other people have. We're taught to be content and not to covet what other people have. We're set free from these temptations to sin. It's by keeping God's commandments that you and I are kept by God from falling back into a life of slavery. Fourthly, we should expect to learn something about how we really enjoy life. This is not a cruel tyrant, a monster that comes and says, I've got these 10 rules, now you're going to have to keep these or else. That is not how this is portrayed, and it's not how it was received. God is not trying to drain all of the fun out of life. I mean, that's not God's great purpose in life, is to make you miserable. You know, you are his people, and he wants you to enjoy his gift of life. I am the Lord your God. I am the God who loves you. I am your heavenly Father. I am the Father of lights from whom every good and perfect gift comes, and it comes down to you. So God is good, as we sang from Psalm 146 this evening. This good God wants you to say yes to the good gifts that he has for you in life. And obeying the Ten Commandments is the way to do that. Number five, we should expect to be drawn closer to God himself. If the Ten Commandments is a revelation of God's own character, if he's telling us something about his essential being and character, what it means to be God, the more we know about God, the more we'll be drawn into fellowship with him and appreciation for who he is. They're not impersonal rules. It's not like an organization or a company that comes up with rules and says, here are the rules, do this. It's a personal God who comes and lovingly addresses you personally, individually. I am the Lord, your God. Walk before me and be blameless, as he would say to Abraham. God reveals himself in the Ten Commandments, drawing you to himself. And so this preface is God's invitation for you to draw near and to enjoy him. Number six, we should expect God to supply all that we need in order to do all that he wants. It's very important to remember that the Red Sea experience comes before Mount Sinai, historically, as you read through Exodus. Red Sea first, redemption, and then Mount Sinai. It's not the other way around. The deliverance from Egypt comes before the giving of the commandments. Exodus 20, verse 2, comes before Exodus verses 3 through 17. The Ten Commandments are based upon something that God has already done to equip us so that we can do the things that he then tells us to do. God is not saying, if you keep these commandments, I will then bring you out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. God is not saying to us, if you keep these commandments, I will give you eternal life. God is not saying that if you work hard enough, if you are you keep yourself out of trouble, if you are faithful to do everything that I call you to do and expect of you to do, then I will then decide to choose you and redeem you. That is not what God says. He's saying, you are my elect people. I have chosen you. I have redeemed you. I have brought you out of the house of slavery to make you my people. And then he gives them the law. Here's my instruction for life. And I will enable you to do all that I ask of you. In Christ, I will give you everything that you need for life. I really like that prayer of St. Augustine in his Confessions where he prays, Lord, give what you command and then command what you will. Who's the guy that he was contending against, the Arminian guy? Augustine. Arius. Was it Arius? I don't know. We won't go off on that tangent. Okay. Give what you command and command whatever you will. Somebody went ballistic when they heard that and said, that's just terrible, you know, because we got to work our way. Maybe it was Pelagius. We got to work our way into God's favor. We've got to do things so that God will love us. And we can't, you know, if we can't do that, then it's not our responsibility. But Augustine said, Lord, give what you command. You command whatever you want as long as you give. You command me to believe in you, I'm going to trust that you're going to give me the gift of faith. If you command me to repent from my sins, I'm going to trust that you will give me the grace of repentance. The Ten Commandments show us by this very order of the preface first and then the Ten Commandments that God will give us everything that we need to do the things that He calls us to do. And then number seven. Finally, we should expect to find here in the Ten Commandments how much we really need Jesus Christ. All of the good things that come out of the Ten Commandments as they function as instruction for life and the way that we express our gratitude to God, how we are drawn into fellowship with God daily in thought, word, and deed, we're going to come face to face with, that's not me. There's the Ten Commandments, but I'm kind of down here or way down there. Just find ourselves falling short and really in need of forgiveness. And God's Ten Commandments are designed to daily, constantly drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope. The way, the truth, and the life. The only way to be right with God. So next time you pick up a book, don't skip the preface. Some books, they give you a bunch of stuff. They give you a foreword and a couple of prefaces, and they get some celebrities to write nice things in here. But get to the preface, because that is where the author is going to tell you who he is, why you should listen to him, and what you should expect to get out of that book. And here in this preface, God displays for us His sovereign grace, which will enable us to live the life that is pleasing to Him. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Let's pray.